Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Before we begin our program, I want to say good morning and thank you to all of our moms and dads out there who are getting their kids prepared for school. God bless you for all that you do, and we will continue to pray for you as you raise your children, my friends, because today is a special day. It's really the first day of the rest of your life, and anything you can do for your kids to help them to prepare well in the faith, we appreciate it. So God bless you and have a great day. And let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Number two, is your heart wide open for God? Check. Number three, is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, once again, you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 11, verses 22 to chapter 12, verses 2. And here it is. Before the Lord, the whole universe is a grain from a balance, or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. But you have mercy on all, because you can do all things, and you overlook people's sins, that they may repent. For you love all things that are, and loathe nothing that you have made. For what you have hated, you would not have fashioned. And how could a thing remain unless you willed it, or be preserved, had it not been called forth by you? But you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls, for your imperishable spirit is in all things. Therefore you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of the sins they are committing, that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the Book of Wisdom today, we're given a great message about God's mercy on everyone. And this is powerful. And when you think about your life and my life, we look back in the many years that we have had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the incredible forgiveness that he has given us for the sins that you and I may have committed. And it's powerful to think back on the Lord's mercy. And when we work in prison year in and year out, we see God's mercy, God's hand working through the lives of so many, forgiving so many for the, you know, sins that they have committed. But even outside prison walls, you and I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, in that relationship, we are made aware of the fact that God is, you know, merciful. He forgives us, but he expects change. He expects us to go forth to sin no more and to move forward to a higher standard of maintaining the Word of God as he told us to do. And that's something that we should strive to do. And when we look at St. Paul and his life, the great persecutor of the church, God forgave St. Paul. You know, he forgave him for the things that he did in his persecution of the church for those who believed in Christ. So you and I, my friends, are in good company with St. Paul, and we are blessed to have the forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one of the conversion stories I heard about Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who had committed over 40,000 abortions, and how he was converted to the faith. And that's just an incredible example of how, you know, the Lord never gives up on anyone, and everyone is open to the mercy of God. And, you know, for a man to, you know, be engaged actively in the abortion world and performing more than 40,000 abortions, and then, you know, having a change of heart, having an understanding of what he's actually doing. And God really, you know, used him to educate and motivate other people who were doing the same things. And like St. Paul and this doctor, we too have an opportunity to make changes, to change for the good, for the better, and to get on board with the Lord's way of doing things. And that's what this is all about, because God's mercy is on everyone. It's for everyone, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of our believers who go to the Lord for forgiveness will get that. But he does expect change. So God's mercy is infinite. And as we overlook, you know, the sins of people, the word goes on to say, that they may repent. So we are called to repent, to confess. And each and every day, you know, we have opportunity to confess the sins that we commit and to not repeat the past, but to gain wisdom from the Word of God and from the Lord Jesus Christ's, you know, mercy, his forgiveness. We gain wisdom and strive to sin no more, try to avoid the near occurrence of sin. The word goes on to say that, therefore, you rebuke offenders little by little, warning them and reminding them of the sins that they are committing. So God, through the Holy Spirit, reminds us what we are doing. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit within, who is trying to guide us in the right direction, helping us to avoid those pathways that enter into the not-to-do zone. The word goes on to say that they may abandon their wickedness and believe in you, O Lord. So God calls us to make changes, to abandon the wrong ways, and to move forward into the right way of living. And that is one of the great goals in the Wings program, to build a good life, a productive life, a life that is Christ-centered, using, you know, the Word of God as our source of decision-making. And this, my friends, is important. Let's go to our second reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 through chapter 2, verse 2. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your minds suddenly, or to be alarmed either by a spirit, or by an oral statement, or by a letter allegedly from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, my friends, we are reminded that we are not worthy of his calling. So we have work to do. And like St. Paul, who tells us that he fought the good fight, ran the good race, and he kept the faith, we too are called to do exactly the same. So we are not worthy of his calling, but we have work to do. What work do you and I have to do, my friends, to grow, to develop, to further our faith, to truly advance in that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How are we doing day in and day out in our prayer lives? How are we doing in our service to our families and to other people? How are we doing in terms of our community service, giving back? Where are you and I in some of these categories? Because God calls us to be worthy, but we are unworthy and have work to do. And so I want you to think about the effort that you and I make every day to grow in faith. Are we stagnating? Are we regressing? Or are we increasing faith? But the word goes on to say that the day of the Lord is at hand. And this is truly like a revelation. You know, the Lord is there for us every day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And so are we happy about the Lord's presence in our life each and every day? Or are we taking him for granted? Do we take for granted the blessings, the gifts and graces that are given to us each and every day of our lives? Because we're so busy, because we're distracted. What can we do to keep the Lord on the table as we continue to proceed through the day without, you know, eliminating him from the conversation, eliminating him from our prayer life? How can we do a little bit better to raise the standard, if you will? This week, we had our sixth week in teaching the confirmation class over at St. Mary's Cathedral, and we had a great class. Each class is 2 hours from 6 to 8 p.m., and we have about 14 students there. And at the end of the class, one of the girls came up and said, "Deacon Montone, I just wanted to tell you that I really enjoy the way you teach." And she gave me the greatest compliment, I think, that I could ever have from a teenager, 14 years old, who truly is in a category of people who are challenged, who are distracted, who are busy. And, you know, every Wednesday night, we have to acknowledge the good things that the parents are doing in dropping their children off. And we get 50 to 100 kids every Wednesday. They drop their kids off and they pick them up. They make sure they're in attendance. And the kids are tired from school, but they come anyway. Some of them may not have eaten dinner, but they're there anyway. They still have homework to do after class at night, but they're there anyway, studying for their confirmation. And I just want to say thank you to the parents out there who are delivering those kids on time, week in and week out, and who are doing just a fabulous job of, bringing accountability to this program. And without their, precision in timing and getting their kids there on time, it would be very, very different. So we want to acknowledge the parents out there, not only at St. Mary's, but throughout the nation, who are doing great work in terms of raising their kids and seeing that they get to Mass each and every week, that they attend their confirmation classes or First Communion classes or RCIA classes. Because without your help, my friends, your kids would be at a great disadvantage faithfully. This is important, and I just wanted to take a moment to, again, highlight the fact that this is a positive result where parents are doing the right things. When so many parents are not coming to church throughout America, we have to, encourage, inspire, and let our light shine more than ever today, because we have competitors to the faith, as we talked about in a previous program, people who are trying to draw us away from the faith, distract our kids, educate our kids in a different way without God's word. And so, I just wanted to say, let your light shine, both parents and students and priests and deacons and teachers. Let your light shine and give your students, your children, the very best that you can in the culture that we're living in today. And when the worst of things happens in the world, the Lord God always brings the best people out there. And I remember on September 11, 2001, when we had 9/11 take place, it was a devastating day for the nation. And the best people came to the forefront. The cream always rises to the top. And it's important to acknowledge that, again, when bad things happen, the best people somehow find their way to help other people. And that's what God does. He provides the best in people. And when the apostles were walking with Jesus and saw a blind man, they said to him, "Lord, who sinned that this man is blind, him or his parents?" And the Lord said, "Neither him nor his parents sinned, but it's so that the good works of my Father in heaven can be revealed." And so very often, some very, very tough days are experienced by all of us. But it's once again so that the good works of our Father in heaven can be revealed. And what example can you provide to us as, an example of a difficult time that you had, like a 9/11 in your life, the loss of a loved one, a car accident, terminal cancer, all kinds of examples. But God brings the best doctors, the best nurses, the best teachers, the best priests, the best firemen, the best police officers to the forefront to solve the problems, to fill voids, to satisfy needs, and to get the job done, because the Lord Jesus Christ is a finisher. And that's what you and I have to be, my friends. We have to be finishers in this world that we're living in. And like St. Paul, who said once again, "I fought the good fight, I ran the good race, I competed well, I kept the faith. Now the crown of life awaits me." And this is powerful. And so again, the word from 2 Thessalonians says that the day of the Lord is at hand. And every day, my friends, the day of the Lord is at hand, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. But are we rejoicing and are we happy in the day? Are we giving thanks to the Lord in all things throughout the day? Think about it. Take a moment to reflect on that, my friends, as you proceed today, and take a moment to give greater thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for all the gifts, graces, and blessings that you have received yesterday and will receive today once again. Let's go to our gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And here it is. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass the way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "But Zacchaeus, he has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I extorted them anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, the Lord tells us that we must respond quickly to God's call, as he called out to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus came down quickly and received the Lord with great joy. Are you and I responding quickly, my friends, or are we slow to respond? Are we responding to the call from within, from the Holy Spirit, to do whatever we are called to do for other people in our families, in our communities, our neighbors, our co-workers? Or do we let that train of opportunity go by without responding? I want you to think about it, my friends. We have an opportunity to serve others. God says, "Whatever you did for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me." So we have that opportunity to respond to God's call. And sometimes it takes a while to respond in a positive way. And, you know, very often we like to pray about it, but this may be an urgent situation. I had a call this week over the weekend from a guy in the Wings program who lost his father only about a year ago, and things are still not right for him. He's still unable to be at peace. And so I texted back to him, and we went back and forth and trying to give him some peace. And I told him, "You know, I want you to call me for the next 7 days. Text me the next 7 days. And stay in touch." Reaching out to him through the telephone, and to send the love of God to him, to give more peace after the loss of a father. What can you and I do to help those people who are in that position, my friends? What more can we do? Do we put God off, or is he a high priority? Because in the Wings program that we use as an inmate reentry program, The list of priorities are these: God first, then you, then your family, then work, then community service, and then hobbies and sports. So when God calls as the number one priority, are we putting him off, or are we giving him, you know, a good response time? Many years ago, I was a volunteer fireman for 3 years in Baldwinsville, New York, and we used to take in about 400 to 500 calls a year. And we had a response time of about 4 minutes. So when the beeper goes off, you have to get to the station and the truck should be leaving within 4 minutes of that call. And that was the goal for all of our firemen, to get there within a 4 minute time period, so we can get onto the scene within 5 or 6 minutes. Very important to save someone's life or to help someone. And 80% of our calls were rescue calls, you know, that required EMTs or, you know, police officers. But I just tell you that, you know, responding to God is a matter of making a decision at the moment. When God calls, what is your decision? What is your choice that you're making? He says, again, you know, when the Lord calls Zacchaeus, he comes down quickly. Are you and I moving quickly, or are we slow to respond? Do we put him off as a last priority, putting other things before him? Only you and I know, and no one's judging you or I. God is the only judge. But we know how we respond already. But can we do better? Can we raise the standard? Respond quickly. Make a difference. Make an impact on other people. Can we do it, my friends? We must reach out to those who are lost. The word goes on to say, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." Who are the lost ones in our society? First and foremost, the youth. What more can we do to bring the youth into the church, into the fold, who have gone astray, who are really not open to the Word of God because of the public school system? What more can we do to help parents to get their kids to church and to build a good life based and rooted in the Word of God? Who are they? The misled, the confused, those opposed to the message of the gospel. Like St. Paul himself at one time, but God converted him, converted his heart, and brought him on board. So no one is escapable. We can get to everyone with God's help. And the Word of God says, do not mislead the children. So those who are misled, my friends, they are being lost as well. It's up to you and I to let our lights shine brightly and to do all that we can to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of everyone we meet. That's our show for today. This is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll see you next time here on Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God and Clear for Takeoff.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.